Welcome to Does the Team Think with Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Cyril Fletcher, and the man who hatched up the idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards.
Hello.
All right, team, now here comes a question from Mrs. Jean Snelson. Hello, Mrs. Snelson. Welcome to the program. Your question, please.
If members of the team were to be the main course at a cannibal banquet, which sauce does each think would be the most appropriate to serve him with?
If members of the team were to be the main course at a cannibal banquet, which sauce does each think would be the most appropriate to serve him with?
I would like to have this whole idea stopped at sauce. Why should we be with cannibals? I know it's a funny question, and we're going to give you some marvellous answers. I suppose one would be like the two missionaries who were caught there on a goodwill mission and put in the soup. And one said to the other, Arthur, it's getting hotter. He said, I know. But he said, I've got news for them. I've ruined their first course.
There's so many different...
You see, because... Yes!
Oh. Don't rub their noses in it. There's so many different actual sauces. That's what the lady is referring to. I mean, there's sauce tartare, which is when you wave goodbye, as you all know. There's a double Dutch one called Hollandaise. And there's one called...
Hollandaise, I like that.
Hollandaise.
I don't think Ted would want any sauce. Ted would want stuffing. Chestnut stuffing.
Well, I wouldn't want to die because I'm too young to die.
You may be too young to die, but you'll be too old tomorrow.
It's Cockney, you see.
It's Cockney, get it?
Yes, Cockney. I think that
I'll pass among you and explain them, ladies and gentlemen, in a moment.
Jim's sauce, I think the best sauce for Jim would be brandy sauce, wouldn't it?
With balls.
And Arthur...
brandy ball.
Arthur, because of the way when he does the B song, he dashes about the stage, doesn't he? Caper sauce for Arthur.
That's nice. Yes. That's
and
nice.
And Ted, if Sybil would let him, I think French dressing.
Well, I'd rather have French undressing, you know.
Mrs. Snelson, do you fancy any of these four gentlemen?
Yes. All of them.
All of them. What sauces would you have with them if you had to have eat them?
Well, I think I'd let Jimmy Edwards stew in his own juice.
Oh, easy.
And that would be 85 proof.
Yeah. You'd be well and truly pickled then, I wouldn't.
All right, kind of you, madam. You're doing well, with me. Okay. You're doing well, Mrs. Snelson.
Cyril Fletcher, obviously something aromatic.
Aromatic.
Oh, he got rid of that.
Because I'm an odd odour, you mean.
And Ted Ray, the sauce piquant.
Piquant,
yes.
Oh. Why does everybody piquant me?
I'll tell you why.
You won't tell them why till they've stopped applauding.
I'll tell you why. You're so slow that you never catch up.
That's it. Oh!
What's the matter with your gin today?
I tell you the thing that I would insist on having with me if it was on the Monday after we'd had hot. Then we had cold, you know, had cold gym on the Monday.
Cold gym.
Well, I mean, you know, I imagine the cannibals have the same sort of routine like we have. You have it hot on the Sunday and cold on the Monday.
We're not still living in that ancient...
And then made into a shepherd's pie on the Tuesday.
With real shepherds, yes.
With real shepherds. But if I'm going to be had cold, I want to be had with chutney.
With chutney?
Yeah, you've got these... I suppose I can't mention the name. Green Label chutney.
You're trying to curry favour with the audience, aren't you?
Yeah, dear. I wouldn't mind applesauce with myself.
Sweet mango chutney, ladies and gentlemen.
And don't forget, where mangoes...
Woman go.
Well, I'd like to see Arthur. I wouldn't like to see Arthur. If it did ever happen to Arthur with the cannibal chief and his son, could you see they've picked the bones clean and they've picked little Arthur up and then take a leg each and make a wish?
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, Mrs. Snelson.
You got a win, boy.
Team, Mr. Ernie Davis is sitting next to me. Mr. Ernie Davis has a question. This is it.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Well, I enjoy meeting Mr. Davis.
Go on.
3 years now, he'll
answer that one easily. No!
Keep trying, Mr. Davis. Put your question, please.
Do the members of the team ever have an afternoon nap? And why is it called 40 winks?
Do the members of the team ever have an afternoon nap? And why is it called 40 winks?
Well, in Jim's case, of course, Jim takes a few at lunchtime. I know that for a fact. So he has a nap in the afternoon. But they're not called 40 winks. They're called 40 tiddlywinks.
I like that, Arthur. I like that.
I used to play tiddlywinks, as a matter of fact. I was very successful. I used to play left tittle.
So, Mr. Davis, nictictation is quite a common habit.
What is it?
It's called nictictation.
Nictictation? I thought that was being cut with a razor blade. In the middle of a sentence.
In nictictation.
Yes.
Which is the blinking of the eyelids. I suppose you knew that, Mr. Davis. That's why you asked. Are you a nictictator? He can't hear me, I don't make sign languages. Are you a nictictator? Well, it means, do you blink? Because winking is
do blinking. You talk? Charles, Mr. Anyway, Davis, please, say something. If he's only guilty.
I'll tell you this.
I'm waiting for Mac to work him.
I take a nap. I take a nap very often during this program.
We've noticed that.
Especially when Cyril's talking.
Oh, that's nice.
Because no, I'm usually taking a nap when all of you are talking. I don't normally have 40 winks. I'm not old enough yet. The rest of them may do, but I do sometimes drop off when I'm on a train journey.
You want to sleep on the end of the bed, you drop off.
No, I'm dropping off in this train, and I suddenly wake up with a start, and I know the reason that has woken me up is that I do a terrible snort. And I look round under my eyelids, because I've got used to this now, and see the rest of the carriage roaring with laughter because of this extraordinary snort that I've let out.
I say,
are you sure that they're laughing just because of the snort?
Oh, yes.
Mr. Davis, do you ever have 40 winks? And do you know why it's called
that? I think
he
just had them.
I don't wonder with this dialogue going on.
Mr. Davis is going to say something, yeah. Believe it.
I've got news for you. Mr. Davis has been talking all the time. He's a ventriloquist.
Underwater.
Mr. Davis, don't be put off. Just say what you think.
No, no, I never have an afternoon nap. I have an afternoon snooze.
I have to tell you that Jimmy Edwards is very like you. He doesn't have an afternoon nap. He has an afternoon booze.
I warned you, Mac. I warned you.
I know you did,
Jim. One joke and you're out. You're the chairman.
I
That's
know.
Right. You've got to keep it straight. I tell you when I used to love an afternoon nap. When I used to go to Lord's and watch cricket. Mm. I think there's nothing more beautiful than being at Lord's on a sunny day. And you drop off to sleep and the start of the program say, oh, yeah, great shot that was, oh, marvellous. You hadn't seen it. But nowadays you go to Lord's and, honestly, the loudmouth yobs there, you can't get asleep. You might be at a polo match.
A friend of mine went to a dinner one evening and the speeches were very boring and very long.
Were you on?
I like it.
Oh. I was the cabaret and I got a lot of money for it. This friend of mine... Oh, you are a basket. Honestly, if you weren't so big and so lovable, I'd hit you.
That's where it's going.
And this fellow really dozed off because some of those speeches are terrible. They do go on and on. And, you know, this poor fellow. And he dropped off, you see, and he was snoring. So the toastmaster picked up the little gavel and just gave him a little tap on the head. Boop. And this fellow looked around and says, hit me again, I can still hear him.
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you very much, Mr. Ernie Davis. Thank you, Mr. Davis. And now, team, you're going to welcome a question, I hope, from Mrs. Florence Simpson.
If the members of the team were offered positions as cabinet ministers, what would each choose to be?
If members of the team were offered positions as cabinet ministers, what would each choose to be?
Sitting down.
Is that the end of your answer?
Yeah.
It's not that sort of cabinet.
I mean, I would naturally want to be the Minister of Education, I think.
No, that Arthur. Arthur would have that because he went to the education offices in Liverpool and worked there for many years.
So that's right, Lachlan.
Can't have that.
But I'm a professor. I'm Bag's Eye, be Bag's Eye.
Bag's Eye? You're not kidding. Have you seen the mirror lately?
Those are eye bags.
Bags, I'd be the Minister for Education because I put the education system right where it's all gone wrong today.
Cyril Fletcher, I would like very much to be Home Secretary. And if I was Home Secretary, I would nationalise crime because that's the only way that you wouldn't make it pay.
I think we should finish on that. Thank you, Mrs. Simpson.
No, you stay where you are, Mrs. Simpson.
Well, I don't think we can top that.
I think if all cabinet ministers were placed end to end, they still wouldn't reach a conclusion.
Very good.
Mrs. Simpson, you might...
Well, I should create a new one. The Minister for Crawling to Shop Stewards. I think I might get it round somewhere.
Mrs. Simpson, if you had to place these gentlemen in a cabinet, apart from a wooden one...
I want to get out of me gox.
What jobs would you give them, Mrs. Simpson?
Cyril Fletcher, Minister of Health.
Health?
Yeah. Not him. He gets winded playing chess.
Carry on, Mrs. Simpson.
Well, you
carry on with Mrs. Simpson. What have you chosen for me, Mrs. Simpson?
Arthur Askey, Minister of Economics.
Because there's not much of him. He's a mini-minister, isn't he?
A mini-minister.
Yeah. What about Ted Ray?
Ted Ray, Minister for the Environment.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Because I think he rather would...
Envires.
Enhance any environment.
Oh, very good. Boo, get off rubbish.
I suppose by that you mean he'd make a good gasworks.
I think we ought to boil him and eat him between us like the first questioner.
Well, with all due respect, Mrs. Simpson, thank you very much when you say I would enhance any environment, which I...
Oh,
I
go
do.
On, harp on it.
I do, head. I do think that's lovely, but really, I think I would be most fitted, because I'm so highly sexed, as I've said before, Minister for Foreign Affairs.
Thank you very much, Timon. Thank you, Mrs. Simpson. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the point where we meet our special guest. And today we welcome a man who welcomes visitors to his home every day. The man who gives a lot of people a special day out. His Grace, the Duke of Bedford. Welcome to the program, Your Grace. Your Grace, may we have your question, please?
Have the team ever thought of opening their home to the public? And if so, what attractions would they advertise?
Have the team ever thought of opening their home to the public? And if so, what attractions would they advertise?
I think Jim could well open his house and say, "Look what's on my sideboard."
It would probably be Jim.
Help yourself.
And tuppence on each bottle.
Mr. Bedford.
Please, Ted.
What?
Please, Ted, say your grace.
For what we are about to receive.
Very good. When I open my flat to the public, I have my wild animals indoors, the wife's relations, you know.
I thought that Arthur, being his size, would show the public his white mice.
Well, it takes about 3 minutes to get around my estate, and that includes the bicycle shed. Well, I'd advertise, "Come and see Arthur Askey's country seat." And people would say, "Where is Arthur Askey's country seat?"
I see his country trousers.
That gag is free for pantomime.
Your Grace, if these gentlemen were to put their homes on to public view, what advice would you give them?
Don't.
From your vast experience.
He won't stand competition.
I would say the only thing that is really important is to give the customers what you think they want or what they tell you they want. When I started, I thought people were going to be interested in my house. And then I put a small place for children to... play with playground, and I found all the parents were on the children's swings and slides as well. So the basic thing, I think, is to give your customers what they want, which is a good time.
You did have a nudist do that, didn't you, Your Grace?
Yes, that wasn't a great...
I was a bit late getting there, unfortunately.
We missed it. It wasn't a great success because we had the usual glorious English summer and it rained every day, and they were going around in Wellington boots and umbrellas and nothing else.
You should have given them a prize for goose pimples.
I like to do these nudist camps. I very often am asked to go along and do an entertainment at a nudist camp. And
do you never go?
I do, and I do very well, because when they sit down on the seats, it sounds like a round of applause.
I was just going to try and get...
I went to one once, and the chap who opened the door was most extraordinary, because I would have expected him to be Starkers, wouldn't you? But not on your Nelly. I had this little black plastic apron on with a sequin windmill on it. And I couldn't take my eyes off the sequin windmill. So I said, why in a nudist camp do you... He said, I'm the cook. I said, well, why does the cook wear a black plastic apron? He said, have you ever fried sausages?
What's the next thing, Your Grace? Everybody is trying different gimmicks with houses now. Have you got lions on...
Yeah, we've got lions and giraffes and monkeys.
You've got... I was going to say, I'd have giraffes, but I haven't got the neck.
No, as a matter of
fact... That was a good idea I read about you when your gorilla died. You got a man to go in the skin, and you put him out in the park, and he'd been out there about 2 minutes, and a great big lion came over to him. So he started screaming and running about, and the lion said, shut up, you'll get us both a sack.
Well, we did have an idea with guests on one of those rare summer days. You know, it wasn't really open to the public, but we invited a lot of people. And I said to Sybil, you know, she won't let anyone in, really, unless they take off their hats or their shoes. So then I said, well, let's get them in the garden, you see? Then they won't have to take off their hats and their shoes. So we did, and we had some bars there with a lot of meat on, and it was all frizzling up, you see? And all of a sudden, we got 12 hairdressers lined up outside the back gate. They thought it was a barbecue, you see?
Oh, Ted. Your Grace, I have to ask you this. If you had to employ these gentlemen at Woburn, what sort of capacity and what jobs would you give them?
Oh, well, I know exactly, because we are very, very short of people to clean loos.
Well, there's nobody...
Well, that's the first time I've been given the brush by a nobleman.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Your Grace, the Duke of Bedford. Thank you, sir, very much indeed. And now, team, here comes a question from Mrs. Mary Hall. Hello, Mary Hall. Welcome to the programme. Question, please.
Does the team think it would be nice occasionally to suspend TV and radio and give people a chance to enjoy old-fashioned home entertainments? If so, how would the team amuse themselves?
Does the team think it would be nice occasionally to suspend TV and radio and give people a chance to enjoy old-fashioned home entertainment? If so, how would the team amuse themselves?
Well, I don't like this expression, suspend TV and radio. You finish up with a stiff neck.
I think that TV at the moment is lousy, isn't it?
Yes.
Of course, I can't be on all the time, I know. But I go back to the days, you won't believe this, of course.
Don't we all?
Mrs. Hall. I go back to the days before radio and television. Now, with my young face, you couldn't believe that, but it's true. And we used to amuse ourselves a downside better then. Oh, this might be in retrospect than we do now. I know when I was a kid, I always had a busy week. Monday was Band of Hope. Tuesday was Scripture Union. Wednesday was choir practice. Thursday was the church concert. Friday was the Boy Scouts. And on Saturday, I had a bath. I filled in the week very well.
You didn't fill the bath, though, very well.
You only mentioned the bath for a plug, didn't you? That's all you did.
I live in the country, and I've got three dogs, and one of my favourite amusements is to take the dogs to this lake that we've got, and I throw a stick into the middle of the lake, and I swim out and seize the stick between my lips, and then I swim back and give it to the dogs. They love it.
Why don't you try throwing the wife into the... She might get it back quicker. I think this is a useless... I haven't got my glasses on again. This is a funny question.
Do you like mine?
With no funny answers.
Sybil's grandmother lives with us. The poor old bat, she's still there. And she loves these westerns, you know. And we just cannot bring ourselves to turn them off when she's watching. And she sits there. And she's really got into this western business. She sits there and watches the programme wearing boots. Nothing else, just boots.
Can you see Saggy Aggie sitting there just wearing
I never watch Western. I think they're the most boring of all the TV things. I think they're terrible. Not only do I know the actors, I now know all the horses. And they're all in each one. But we used to fill in our time, chiefly as when we were young, with musical evenings. We were a very musical family. It's like the three fellas talking, and one fella said, oh, he said, our family's all very musical. He said, you must come round one night, and we'll give you a musical evening. And the other fella said, well, that's funny. All my relatives, all our family are artists. You must come round one night, and we'll give you a lesson in painting. And the other fella said, oh, well, with me, he said, all my family are boxers. You must come round one night and we give you a good hiding.
Well, I don't agree with you, Arthur. I must take cudgels with you there about this Western business. I saw a marvellous Western the other day, and in this permissive age, the hero was a little bit precious, as we say. And he came into this town, had his drink in the bar, had a sweet Italian vermouth and lemonade, went outside, and there was his Mustang, you see, and it was... somebody had painted it green. And he went back into the saloon. He said, all right now. Now, come on. Who's the wise guy who painted my horse green? And a fella got up in the corner, like Lee Marvin. Like Lee Marvin. You know, he went got up for about 3 hours. Right up to the top. And he said,
I did.
And he looks up, he says, well, I thought you'd like to know the first coat's dry.
This is a question.
People used to have guessing games, didn't they, in Victorian times, because there wasn't any other kind of entertainment. Guessing games, like, what is a zebra? And the answer is, the largest I can buy. And...
thank you very much, team, and thank you very much, Mrs. Mary Hall. Thank you. And now, team, here comes a question to you, put by Maureen Whelan. Miss Whelan, your question, please.
Can any members of the team identify themselves or their fellow panellists with cartoon characters?
Can any members of the team identify themselves or their fellow panellists with cartoon characters?
Is this political cartoons or is this animated cartoons?
Or ice cream cartoon.
Or there was Kitchener of cartoon.
Oh, shut up, madam.
No, thank you, mother.
Just keeping her hands warm.
Why must you bring your sister here every week?
This is a question about... You mean about animated? I mean, I'd like to be Tom and Jerry.
You couldn't be anything else but Colonel Blimp.
Oh, nonsense. He could very easily be Popeye, only it wouldn't be a tin, it would be a bottle.
You don't get the same out of a tin. No, I'd like to be both Tom and Jerry, and then you'd see both ends of the game.
I think Ted would be lovely as Donald Duck, don't you?
Well, I'm almost near enough to the ground to have achieved that.
Bound to be for Arthur, Donald Duck, because of the same reason.
Yes. Actually,
what, you mean rubbing out my front prints as I walk?
That's right. But, I must confess that I don't read cartoons in newspapers. The one that I take only has obituaries on the back page.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Oh, mine has tons of obituaries.
I bet you... I bet you have a look to see if you're in it some mornings, don't you, Jim?
Yeah, and if I'm not, I have breakfast.
If you've got a hangover.
Miss Whelan, have you any ideas what cartoon characters they might fit?
Well, Jimmy mentioned... Tom and Jerry. Well, apart from Dumbo, you know, the big fat elephant. I thought perhaps
too,
perhaps Arthur and Jimmy could team up for Tom and Jerry. You know,
the
Tomcat with the big whiskers and Arthur the little mouse.
Yes, all right.
And I think
I'm very near the skirting boards. In any case,
yeah.
You see, just when no other people would see it, don't you?
And Cyril Fletcher?
Cyril Fletcher, that's very difficult. But I wonder, do you think he wears glasses because he's got pop eyes?
Well, I don't like spinach, but I could very easily be Pluto because he's lovable and stupid, isn't he?
Pity the music halls have all closed down. I don't mind them pulling them down, but they could have waited till I finished my act. But years ago, we had men like George Robey, and they didn't have to put the name George Robey. There was just a little bowler hat. And a pair of eyebrows.
That's right. Mm.
And everybody knew that George Robey was appearing in that theatre. Today, we could have, for Arthur, for instance, outside this lovely theatre where he's appearing, a great big heart with a pair of spectacles on it. And they'd say, that's big-hearted Arthur.
I thought you meant I had a short-sighted heart.
And then, you see, Jim would be, obviously, this pith helmet with a bushy moustache under.
Pith?
Yes. Yes. Now, there'll be no comment unless...
No.
I shall ask the speaker to intervene. You will have that with this pith helmet, this bushy moustache, and they say, Jim, can't be anybody else.
Ted, you have one for Cyril?
You just put a picture of an owl. And that would be Cyril with a lovely benign look on his face. They'd say, oh, Cyril Fletcher's back in town. But he's drunk again.
I've been...
Thank you very much, team. And there, I'm afraid, we close Does the Team Think for today. On behalf of Jimmy Edwards, Ted Ray, Arthur Askin, Cyril Fletcher, and our producer, Edward Taylor, our thanks to all our questioners, and, of course, our special guest, His Grace, the Duke of Bedford. This is Donald Hopley saying goodbye to you all. Goodbye.